The Jerry Doyle Show.
A couple of new surveys out showing that moms who cut back at work are happier. The vast majority of married mothers don't want to work full-time. Married mothers who are able to cut back at work tend to be happier. And according to the New York Times CBS News survey, 49% of mothers wished that they could work part-time. Is that true? Is that the reality? Are women being forced to take on roles? I am woman, hear me roar. We're going to hear the roar of Anita Findlay. She's back with us on the program. She's an author, actress, blogger, contributor at EpicTimes.com. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. The book, by the way, spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much. You want me to roar? Are you ready?
Roar! Roar!
Yeah. Very well. So,
what do you think of these surveys?
You know, I always have trouble with a lot of these polls and surveys and stuff. It's not that they don't have value, but so many times these numbers are in a vacuum. It's very nice when someone calls you on the phone. What would you think? What would you like to do if you had the option of blah, blah, blah? I'd like to have $10 million in the bank and have my own island. Thank you very much. But the fact of the matter is that for many women in society, you know, to cut back on work hours, it is not something that is economically feasible simply because many of them are sole breadwinners. They have children to raise. So they, of course, they would rather. I mean, I am perhaps not the best person to ask about this because, as we've discussed before, I came from an unusual background where my mother was the sole support of the family of four with a sick husband at home and two girls. So I've always been raised with a woman working. Would she have rather been home with me? Yeah, I'm sure she would have. But, you know, we have to look at what people say are their druthers and then what is the reality of what they're doing. I think that if you asked men what they'd like to be doing, if they'd like to change careers or pursue their dreams rather than drudge through with whatever career they happen to be doing, a lot of them would answer that way as well.
Yeah, but I would think that most guys would say, I don't want to be at home raising the kids. I don't want to be doing the housework. I don't want to be doing what traditionally, and I say that, nothing attached to it, but traditionally what has been the role of the woman in the home, most guys would just say, that's not for me.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. It's like you read my mind, Jerry. Fabulous.
I'm boring in.
You're boring in. You're doing a great job.
Some people would say I'm just boring, but go ahead.
Well, I don't think they would. They'd say a lot of things about you, Jerry. That wouldn't be one of them. But there was an interesting article in the New York Times called Wall Street Mothers, Stay-at-Home Fathers by Jody Cantor and Jessica Silver Greenberg. And they were talking about women who were with J.P. Morgan Chase and other powerful companies where women are only 16% in the boardroom, as we've discussed. But they were talking about affluent families where the woman is the one who is the big breadwinner and the guy is the stay-at-home dad. And this is becoming, I won't say it's a new phenomenon, but there's so many things that used to happen in the world that we didn't talk about. Now we're getting coverage. Now we're talking about them. And certainly, I think that just as women still get a bad rap for being working mothers or executives or being painted as some sort of hard, strident, you know, woman with a ballerina bun on her head and a black suit on and so on, that the stay-at-home dad or the dad who is perhaps the landscape designer or architect or whatever he's doing, that he can probably or possibly work from home and have more flex time with the kids, there are guys doing that, but it's not so much the child-rearing that they don't enjoy. They're enjoying that part. What they find is they're sort of being, I don't want to say discriminated against, but it's kind of weird when they have, you know, the play dates.
Right.
Because they're having to mix with other moms who are doing that, and they're finding that they're sort of left out of the loop because people are, you know, they're looking in a stereotyped way at what the role was for the man as opposed to what it's changing into now in some circles. But again, this article is also talking about affluent families where somebody is, you know, somebody is the rich person who obviously is making a big six-figure salary as an executive working for one of these big banks. But, you know, the reality for most people is that many times parents with kids just figure out how to trade. I know couples who, okay, now I'll work on my career for 5 years and I'll deal with, and then you'll deal with the kid and then we'll trade.
Right.
Even Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick, as actors, they did that. She did her series for 5 years. And Kevin Bacon, if you noticed, he wasn't working very much. And he was home with the kids. And then they reversed. Now he's doing The Following. She left the series. And now she's at home. But
yeah.
You know, people are dealing with what they have to in terms of economic necessity. So, you know, look, my mom even expresses regret to this day. I mean, she would have loved to be home with me. But I said, are you kidding? I'm just so grateful to you. Of course I missed having you there. But my father did a lot of the child rearing, and I turned out okay. And I was very grateful to her for stepping up to the plate when she needed to. So I think that these surveys are as fine as far as they go. But, you know, of course we'd all be happier if we could do a certain thing. I think this also speaks to the larger picture of what the economic reality is and the work time reality is in the workplace, inventing, creating situations where there's more flex time so a woman could do that if she wanted to.
Do you, I believe, and get your opinion on this, that it takes a very self-assured man to be a stay-at-home dad?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really, it's very tough because, as I said, in all fairness, it's not only women being discriminated against when they step up to the plate to break the proverbial glass ceiling, if you will. Because a man who, and they talked about that in Ms. Cantor's article, about how, you know, men feel a sense of, I don't want to say shame, but they do feel some kind of embarrassment about talking about what they do for a living or don't do for a living. Because
no.
And that is not just so much what's going on inside of them. I would put it to you that really has to do with the way society sees us and the
right,
way society tells us that we should be.
Well, isn't society telling a lot of women today that you should aspire to be the next Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook, or you should be the next Secretary of State like Hillary Clinton, or you should be the next president of Yahoo like and dot, 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 fill in the blank. It just seems as if the messaging is that if you choose to be a stay-at-home mom, you've turned your back on a certain subsect of the female population that is trying to break through the marble and the glass ceilings, and you've kind of sold out, or that you've settled, and somehow you think June Cleaver is the role model.
You know, I think that's a great point, Jerry. You know, part of what I have always asserted that feminism is freedom of choice. And what that means is if you choose to be a stay-at-home mom, if you're able to make that work, or if you want to work less, or if the guy wants to do, you know, that we have more flexible gender roles in society, because when we learn to work together in that way and respect what we each bring to the table, that's going to make us stronger, not only as individuals, but as, you know, as communities around the country. So I think that's very much the case that you have, you know, with Sheryl Sandberg saying lean in, I don't agree with all of the advice she's giving. It's not only about whether you wish to succeed, but the way that she advises women to go about it. It's not always practical because she's dealing with a very specific affluent subset, i.e. her own career, which she admits to, by the way. But, you know, I think that it's very important for people to realize that you can't buy into a media or social brainwashing that tells you to be a certain kind of a way. And
right.
If you could manage to spend more time at home, I look, just from my own experiences or anecdotally what I see around me, having a father's a positive influence from your dad. You know,
right.
that's very important, just as your mom is. What I have a problem with in society is that on some level, we still put it on women that they're the ones who are supposed to do, you're carrying the child to term, and then you're supposed to do all the juggling. We still have a double standard, per se, in politics, for example. Nobody would ever think of asking a male politician, how do you juggle career and children? But when a female is running, you always ask her that. So I just think that we need to stop pigeonholing people and realize that we're all in this together, and both men and women have to figure out within their own couple, within their own family unit, how it works best for them. What we would do well to do is to step back and stop putting our values on other people and deciding how they should live.
Anita Finley is with us, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all major book retailers. What's with the lean thing? A lot of people are using lean, L-E-A-N, and I'm not talking about beef. MSNBC, you know, lean forward. You were just mentioning the phrase lean in. Lean to me is like not quite a commitment to toppling over or staying upright. It's like I'm just gonna lean in a little bit. I'm not really gonna jump in. I'm not gonna force myself in. I'm not gonna take a stand. I'm just gonna lean a little. It seems to me to be kind of a soft term to describe something that does have a certain edge to it.
Well, you know, I take it to be that it's like three-peat, you know, Pat Riley coined that phrase, because Lean In became a number one bestseller. It's like lean in, since Sheryl Sandberg put that phrase out there, that's now the new thing.
Right. Like,
that's really where that's coming from, more than anything, that now people associate that with asserting yourself. Lean in, lean into your work, lean into your career, lean into whatever it is you're doing. So, you know, it's not, well, it's each to his own. I mean, I don't really have a reaction to it one way or the other.
You might know Anita Findlay from her work as an actress, accomplished actress, 24, The Young and the Restless, Dr. Nora Thompson. Hey, did you see they're making a movie at a Gilligan's Island, a television show?
That's bizarre.
I know.
I grew up with these shows, as you did, and I just feel like there are certain things that are sort of in a perfect bubble. I don't want them to remake I Dream of Jeannie. As a matter of fact, when I first came to this town, I got a big part in a movie of the week with Barbara Eden. And I grew up, I worshipped I Dream of Jeannie.
I adored but for different reasons.
But I didn't know I was supposed to be her contemporary in this movie, and obviously she and I are many years apart in age, and I didn't want to say, oh, I grew up watching you as a kid, but I probably should have, because she'd have been so cool. She was the nicest woman. But
really?
Shows like I Dream of Jeannie or Gilligan's Island, I think they're just a perfect, you know, they're just in this perfect bubble. I don't want to see somebody else play these parts.
Well, it's like they did The Sound of Music Live with Carrie Underwood, which was
what
just...
What did you think of that,
I thought it was horrible. Absolutely horrible, especially when she slipped right in the opening number that she was singing. And I saw her face kind of go, oh, it just slipped. The whole thing was bad. She can't act. She's a good singer. And the guy who played Captain Von Trapp, I dubbed him Captain Von Shut Your Trap. It was just the whole, but you say a perfect bubble. The Sound of Music is a perfect movie. I mean, would you remake Network? Would you remake On the Waterfront? And now Gilligan's Island, The Seven Castaways. This show, by the way, ran from 1964 to 1967. That's when they started residuals, wasn't it, 1967?
It was earlier than that, actually.
Was it? Okay, so they got
62. Yeah,
they got a few bucks for that. So three seasons. They had a couple of made-for-television movies, Rescue from Gilligan's Island, The Castaways on Gilligan's Island, and The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. It's amazing. Everybody could get to Gilligan's Island, but they could never leave. But
no sense whatsoever.
But they're doing a feature film. They got Michael Cera is going to play Gilligan. Josh Gad is going to play the Skipper. Scarlett Johansson is going to play Ginger. Listen to this cast. Mila Kunis is going to play Marianne.
Right.
Arnie Hammer is going to play the professor. Kelsey Grammer is going to play Thurston Howell III. And Allison Janney, who's starring on a TV series now called Mom, and you know her from The West Wing, is going to play Lovey.
Well, I'll tell you what, Allison Janney and Kelsey Grammer, I'd watch read the phone book. I mean, they're fabulous. They're fabulous.
They really are.
And you know, all due respect to the actors, and I applaud any time. Look, any time you have actors getting a job, I'm happy, because it means there's one less reality TV show out there. So
that's
anytime
true.
You're really doing a TV show or a movie, fine. I'd rather watch that than, you know, people eating roaches on Fear Factor.
Right. Speaking of reality TV, did you see the controversy over Duck Dynasty and the stupid comments made by Phil Robertson about homosexuality?
Yeah. Yes, I did. And you know something? It's just, I can understand, A&E, I believe, is the network, and they're suspending him and so on, which is the correct thing to do. It's just, you know, however you feel in your own person, that's your business, and we don't have any right to tell you what to think. But, you know, if you're on a network and you're representing something, it's just, we also have to, I think, practice some more tolerance in this society and treat everyone else with respect. And to the comments that he made are just so disrespectful and horrid.
Yeah. Well, plus, you know, you have to understand that you are nobody without A&E. And it's like, I'm nobody without the stations that carry this program. And I have to protect the station's licenses. So I have to make sure I don't do anything to jeopardize their license. And I would think that someone who's starring in a reality show on A&E would want to self-censor themselves to a certain degree so that their vitriol or their hate or their bile or whatever it is or stupidity doesn't come out and reflect poorly on A&E. But now I see Fox jumping all over this story because Fox embraced Duck Dynasty because they're Christians and because they quote the Bible and because they hold hands and pray at the end of every episode. And now Fox is running with, is this free speech or is this bigotry? No, it's stupidity is what it is. And they just had a panel on with Byron York and Karl Rove and Republican politicians defending coming to the rescue of a reality show called Duck Dynasty. This is part of the problem that we have with Fox and MSNBC, is that there is nothing that can exist without some kind of hyper-political attachment to it for the benefit of one party or the other.
Bingo. And the fact of the matter is that this really is stupid and vile, these comments. And to me, it's sort of a hubris to think that now you have a forum and you can say whatever the heck you please, no matter how offensive or denigrating it is to somebody else. And then to top it all off, you have cable stations even drawing more attention to it and then trying to defend the indefensible. And it's just, again, it is not unlike what we were talking about with what Paul Ryan is saying. Now we need to win power and blah, blah, blah. People are focused on the wrong thing. What you need to focus on is enhancing the rights of people that are your neighbors, whether you agree with them or not, and enhancing our growth possibilities and our economy and so on. And you don't need all of this negativity. And they are focused on what they think is going to glue a butt in the seat and to get somebody's eyes to bulge and turn the dial to you and all of this. And it's destructive. And it wears people out.
Enough. Not you, Anita. I'm just talking about enough with all of what your comments are about, because that's a way a lot of people are thinking. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Check out her book, The Dirty Words on Clean Skin. And I'm not sure if we're going to have a chance to talk before Christmas and New Year's, so I just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, great holidays. Enjoy your family and your friends and your food and all the good stuff that you do, because I know you take a big, joyous bite out of life every day.
Oh, thank you so much to you as well. Have a fabulous holiday season, Jerry, and to all your listeners. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks, Anita. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.